Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I invited my friend JJ from Christmas Music News, which you'll find on Twitter, at New Christmas Music. That's correct, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. To join me once again, and we're going to talk about some of this year's new releases. Hi, JJ. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And we talked in April about a bunch of upcoming releases, at least the ones that we had heard about, some rumors and some that we hoped would turn out to be actual releases. And unless I missed them, there are three, right off the top of my head, three big names that it seemed obvious that they were going to release new Christmas songs. And maybe I missed them. But I didn't see anything new from Sheryl Crow, Avril Lavigne, or Nancy Wilson. Did you?
0-3 on that. No, I think Sheryl Crow was involved in a movie, I believe, on CBS.
Right.
Maybe wrote music for that, but I don't believe she's the one to perform it. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, I don't know either, and they didn't say because it hadn't happened yet. But they released they sent out a press release. CBS did. About upcoming Christmas content. And one was this movie that I think she was producing, maybe, and she was writing songs for it. And it just seemed like she'll probably sing one of them. I mean, come on, it's Sheryl Crow. But I don't even know what movie. I'd have to go back looking through all my stuff, but I don't even remember what it was. Do you?
The movie was When Christmas Was Young. It was the third of the three Sunday night CBS holiday movies, Hallmark style. And I do believe that Sheryl Crow was some sort of producer on it and wrote the title track. But from what I found, she was not performing it. So probably the lead female actress was performing the song that the Crow wrote. So that might be as close as we get for new Sheryl Crow Christmas content.
Okay. Do you remember seeing anything recently about Avril Lavigne?
It was in the first part of the year when her new album was coming out. And as she was doing the media circuit, she kept talking about it, how she wanted to do it. And I was skeptical at the time that she was going to be able to release a studio album in the winter and then come back around and do a full-length holiday album in time for also a 2022 release, but hopeful. And so didn't happen. It seems like it's something she still wants to do. She killed it on O Holy Night on the Tommy Prophet project from a couple years ago. That only whet my appetite for more stuff. So you got to believe it's coming. But as we learned with some other artists, it's tough to assume any specific year.
Yeah. And you know, now that you say that, I remember those interviews from earlier this year, because she also talked about doing some kind of a Christmas cookbook.
Yeah.
But I feel like we would know if that happened too. And then there was Heart's Nancy Wilson, who had talked many times about a Christmas album, but nothing.
Yeah, I kind of gave up researching for this one there in the doldrums of summer, when that was one of the only, you know, tips that we had. I was scouring the internet weekly looking for something. And then as the release cycle drew near and there was nothing, it's been a little while since I've looked, but obviously it didn't happen. So that's another one where you gotta chalk it up to maybe next year.
Yeah. And I don't want it to seem like I'm picking on these three artists, and I'm sure that there are probably more. I know that there's a lot that goes into putting together a Christmas album or even a single, and you may have high hopes for it, but it just doesn't happen. We finally got the Backstreet Boys Christmas album, and they've been teasing that for years. It was in the works, but it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen. And then we finally did get it. So maybe next year, maybe. I think that's the Steve Perry song, isn't it? Maybe next year.
If that is true, that's the one. Maybe this year, I think.
Maybe this year.
I think that's the song. Yeah.
Yeah.
But speaking of Backstreet, you know, it's kind of a shame because, you know, we got teased with it for so long. Then it was actually happening. Then the pandemic shut it down. Then it does happen. And then they get canceled and their TV special doesn't even air. And they get pulled from the Kelly Clarkson show and they get pulled from everything. And so it was all that buildup. It comes out and then they went away.
Oh, that is too bad. But their version of Last Christmas is a hit.
Yeah, it's true. They got that.
We'll see if it has legs and we get it again next year. And I have to admit, when their album came out, and I don't remember how many songs, but for as long as they'd been teasing it, I thought it was going to be a huge project. And it seemed like, well, there are 10 tracks, 12 tracks.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I couldn't help but look at that and go, so next year we'll get the deluxe version.
Right. Yeah, the cynic in me, if I see a short album length, I'm like, okay, they're setting it up. If it's something I'm actually going to buy, maybe I wait till next year. I've grown wise over the years.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole deluxe package thing, it's a double-edged sword, I feel like, because on the one hand, if it's an artist that you really like and you're excited that there's more Christmas music, even if you bought the last one, but a lot of us are cynical when we see that album come out and there's 8 tracks on it or 10, and it just feels like, okay, yeah, so next year,
yep,
it'll have 11 or 12. And maybe, I mean, I feel like Dolly Parton is an exception to that, because she's an exception to lots of things, because she did a deluxe version of hers and there was a bunch of new stuff. And then she did another deluxe and there was a bunch more. And then this year we got like a second CD of stuff on the album previously, unreleased songs.
Yeah. Ultimate deluxe.
Yeah. And now that is deluxe.
Yeah. Well, and Norah Jones last year,
yeah,
an album with 13 tracks on it. And that she had the Amazon exclusive last year. She had the Target exclusive. And then digitally, there were 3 extra tracks. And then this year, she packaged all that, plus another new song, plus some live stuff from the Empire State Building session. And the vinyl is a full, like, second vinyl with 11 tracks on it. So that's how you do it.
Yeah. If you're going to release new music and you've just had a Christmas album and it wasn't really big, it doesn't have to be deluxe. You could just put the singles out there. Yeah. Great friend of the Sounds of Christmas station, Michael Sinatra, released a Christmas album last year. It only had 7 songs. He wanted it to be an EP, but wherever the line's drawn, he had like one too many songs on it. So they considered it an album. But his plan was to flesh it out with twice as many songs for this year. And for a variety of reasons, that didn't happen. But he still went ahead and put out a single just because he'd been talking about new Christmas music. So here's a single and we'll have the rest of it for you next year. And I feel like, you know, that's classy. That's a great way to go. If you're gonna do that, rather than just hanging on to everything and waiting another year or 2 more years.
I agree with that. The lines are so blurred now between physical releases and digital and what's actually out, what's actually been officially released, what are actual release dates. That's getting more of a gray area all the time as well. Actual release dates. That's wow. Try chasing them. But
yeah, it is. And this certainly doesn't go for everybody, but for a lot of artists, there's the digital release and there's the CD release and there's the vinyl release and they're all over the place.
Yeah. And then Kelly Clarkson had her cassette release this year.
Yeah. Okay. That's a thing, that you know, but that's a thing for really for the fans.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. The release dates are all over the place. So I want to get into the meat of the new stuff this year. And this is the point where I will probably pull back some just because it gets really tricky for me, because I have a lot of artists that advertise on the Sounds of Christmas. Okay. And so they're paying for commercials to air. I don't run a lot of commercials, but I do run some. And when I start talking about my favorite new songs for the year, It's like either I can mention them and it sounds like, oh, they're paying to be on Ken's list, or I can exclude them. And then it's not fair if they put out something really great, but I don't want to mention them because they paid. So I'm going to try not to mention anybody and let you sort of handle it. Do you happen to have any idea, now that most of the new releases are out, there will still be a couple stragglers probably this week, but do you have any idea about how many new releases you tracked, even a ballpark?
It's around 120, I think. Yeah. And kind of the criteria for me is it has to at least be an EP. So it has to at least be three songs. If it's a deluxe or some sort of re-release, it has to have something never released before. So like Neil Diamond's, although it was a new collection, we had heard it all before. So I didn't add him to the list. And then, there are so many out there. So I try to find a line drawn somewhere. So I do check numbers. I check Spotify monthly listens. I check, social media followers to kind of form some sort of arbitrary cutoff as to, do I consider this a major release or do I not? And it's basically just comes down to a judgment call. If they've got a couple thousand people on Twitter or Instagram and people seem to care about their music, then to me, that's a major release. But there are a lot that get left on the cutting floor. They're like, people DM me or whatever. At some point, I've only got so much room on my chart. And I'm not trying to exclude anybody. I'm just trying to be practical. So around 120, I need to tally them up. There's still a few stragglers coming in though. So yeah, that's ballpark.
And I want to mention that you do this. This is not your job. Nobody is paying you to do this. This is kind of somewhere between fun and hobby and obsession, right?
You said it. That's somewhere there's a fine line between those three, and I don't know where it is, but yeah. Mostly fun, though. It's a lot of fun, unless I can't find a release date.
Any idea, even ballpark, on how many artists or their management or label people contacted you about stuff that, for one reason or another, didn't make your list?
Maybe a dozen, not a ton.
Okay.
The site's still new, and I'm still only on Twitter. And Twitter almost went bye-bye. Yeah. So I was kind of wondering what was going to happen there, but luckily we're still here. I right now, not being on Facebook, not being on Instagram, and being, this is my fourth Christmas release cycle. So I'm still a noob. I'll admit it.
I probably get in the neighborhood of 1,000 songs sent to me every year.
Wow.
And they're not all, it's very easy for, because of improvements in technology, it's very easy for somebody to record a song. There's lots of software out there that can help you out. I get a lot of things that are really not ready for prime time. They're just, it's somebody in their garage or in their kitchen, and you can kind of tell, and it's not, the quality's not really there. It's not ready to go on the air. So there's a lot of them that fall into that category. And like any genre of music, Christmas music is very subjective. So I have to pick and choose. I just can't play everything. I do play lot.
And yeah, you do.
I know I've added a couple of hundred new songs this year. I should have checked that out before we started, and I can tell you exactly how many I've added. But I really couldn't, because I've got a whole bunch more that are in various states of being added into the library that I just can't, because there's just so many. And it's much easier when a release comes out in September, and it's a little less easy when you get into October, and it gets sort of frantic in November. And today somebody sent me songs from five different artists just released yesterday or are going to be released tomorrow. And I don't know when I'll get a chance to even listen to them.
Yeah.
It's tough. The Sounds of Christmas is not set up to be a money-making venture. It's, you know, like I was mentioning about what you're doing, it's somewhere between fun, hobby, and obsession.
Sure.
I do sell some advertising, and that pretty much pays for the station to be on, but and the website, and you know, and that's really about it. I don't have a whole bunch of different cars in my garage.
Maybe next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe next year. Because it's not maybe this year. Yeah. So what were some of your favorites this year?
You're talking about single songs, right?
Could be single song. Yeah. Could be. Let's start there. And then we'll see if there was a whole album that you liked.
So this is a little bit. So I get so busy with personal work and with the site that I usually don't have a feel for this until after Christmas is over. And I sit down with my playlist and I figure out, okay, what did I like from this year? But I do listen as we go. So I've got some ideas. So when you first messaged me, the song that jumped out to me was the Christmas song from JJ Heller. So JJ Heller had done some Christmas music before. Did a nice, 14 track full length album this year. She's got the perfect Christmas voice. So for her version of the Christmas song, which is the Chestnuts Roasting song, she elected to do basically an exact replica of the instrumentation from Nat King Cole. So the opening strings, you know, the same tempo, the same feel. She did add like this really ethereal choir, which really is a great touch. But she did the song and she did it justice. And with her voice, it's the thing that so far, it's the thing that I'll take out of this year's Christmas release cycle is how JJ Heller gave the treatment to the Christmas song.
I do admit I liked her album very much. I've added some songs from it, including the Christmas song. I don't remember any originals on that. Do you? I don't think.
Boy, if there are, it's only a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't remember. I remember I liked Holly Jolly Christmas. I like Christmas Time Is Here. I liked Sleigh Ride. Mm-hmm. And you may have already heard all of those on the Sounds of Christmas. But
as I look, yeah. there's one cut called I Have Enough, and I believe that was original.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
So yeah, that's top of the heap. And then she did a version of Snow from White Christmas, which I like as well. But one that really makes my list is the Joss Stone version of Snow. And anytime I hear or I see that title on a track list, I'm secretly hoping it is the cover from White Christmas and not some newfangled Snow that somebody tried to write. And when I clicked on the Joss Stone version, it was indeed that song, which I think is not enough people do that. People are starting to do it a little bit more now. Both JJ Heller and Joss Stone did it for this year, but Joss Stone's she does that song justice and more. And her album Merry Christmas Love is, if I were to have to form a top five as we speak right now, I would probably put her album at number two for the 2022 release cycle. It's some really good stuff.
Did you happen to hear the cover of Snow that Debbie Boone did this year?
No. Missed it.
She did one with John Driscoll Hopkins and Yacht Rock Review. And this was this was a charity thing. I mean, I know Debbie Boone did a Christmas album. Oh God, it's probably been 30 years now. And the really cool thing about that, I thought, was that she did a song with Rosemary Clooney, which was really neat. And because Rosemary Clooney sang Snow.
Absolutely.
In White Christmas. But this was for ALS research.
Interesting.
Okay.
Is that widely available?
Yeah, I think so. I know it's on YouTube, and it's probably, there was a story about it in Rolling Stone, so it's probably available everywhere, but it is a single, and I don't know much about John Driscoll Hopkins and the Yacht Rock Review. So because all of that comes first before it's and Debbie Boone.
Oh,
that may be why it's not getting a whole lot of
Yeah. Press.
And that's just a guess. If you're a huge fan of John Driscoll Hopkins and Yacht Rock Review, I apologize. I'm just not familiar with them.
I've heard the name. That's as far as I'll go.
Yeah. But it's very nice to hear her singing a Christmas song. And that was a very interesting choice, aside from the Rosemary Clooney connection, just because, like you said, not a lot of people cover that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So there. So I've interrupted you again. This is probably going to continue for the rest of this episode.
I like it. Otherwise, it's just me reading a list. So
you had mentioned Joss Stone. I liked a lot of the stuff on her album. It's called Merry Christmas Love. One of the tracks I did really like on that was If You Believe. And I don't know if that's an original or just one I wasn't familiar with.
When I first saw it, I was wondering if it was like the Josh Groban song from Polar Express. And it's not that. So I do think it is an original. I was not familiar with it before.
But I liked that. And I'll admit I liked it because it was a little bit different. Wasn't, you know, there are a lot of songs on that album that a lot of other people have recorded. And I'm not against that. I get that. Those are the songs that we all love. And when I say we, I mean the artists too. So they want to record White Christmas. But one of the things that I'm looking for is something new and different. And If You Believe was that. She also did Bring On Christmas Day, which I liked.
So what's your sweet spot? If an artist is going to release a 12-song album, what would be your sweet spot for the mix of originals and covers?
I like it when it's about half and half.
Okay.
Like what Switchfoot did this year.
Okay.
I like that. I like it when the covers are, when there's something in the covers that everyone else hasn't already done, which is tough. But
sure.
But come on, the Drifters took White Christmas and made it their own. And I mean, I know that was, you know, almost 70 years ago now, but so you can do that with the song. You know, I say that, and then I think about all the people who get upset if you take a song that they know and love and you change it. You know, you had mentioned J.J. Heller doing the Christmas song with the same sort of arrangement that Nat King Cole did, which is very risky.
Sure.
And I got to give her props for that. It's very risky because if you're going to do that, people are going to start to compare. Yeah. And, you know, nobody is Nat King Cole.
True.
But it's tough. It's a really fine line, and it's very easy for me to be critical about that. There was an artist last year, and I'm not going to mention their name, but they had a lot of big hits in the late 80s, early 90s, and hadn't done anything, at least anything that really made it, got radio airplay, was hits in the last like 20 years. But all of a sudden, there was a Christmas single from them, and I think it was Jingle Bell Rock. And I was very excited, and I listened to it, and it was Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Okay. And it was exactly like Brenda Lee's, almost exactly as long. There was nothing to distinguish it. And if you didn't know who the singer was, you wouldn't know.
Hmm.
And when somebody does that, it feels like somebody in their management or at their label said, make a Christmas album. And okay, fine. And here it is. Here's the song I knew. And here it is. Now leave me alone. And it feels like that. So if they're going to put covers on their Christmas album, I like it that they either make it their own or at least sound like themselves. Don't try to be Nat King Cole because you're not. And you're not going to fool anybody. And what's going to happen is people are going to be very super critical of that and go, wow, they're trying to be Nat King Cole. And it's just obvious how much they are not. So that's that, you know, for a dream release, I'd like six tracks that are covers and that you make them your own, whether it's you do new arrangements or you just sing in your style, in your voice. And then I'd like it if you were singing it and it felt like you cared.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Because that's the other thing. We get a lot of songs, and I'm sure you get these too, where, okay, well, they did a Christmas song, but It doesn't have any heart. There's no magic in it. And I'll get some, and I've been lucky to talk to some artists who did some pretty cool stuff this year. And what I told them was, you know, I listened to your Christmas music and I believe you.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference, whether you're singing Blue Christmas for the 1,000th time or whether you're singing something original. If you put heart into it, if you have that Christmas feeling in it, and that's terrific. I love that. So that's what I want.
Yeah.
And I know that sets the bar kind of high, but I listen to a lot of Christmas songs, and you want something that, I want to say, separates you from the pack, but that can be trouble too. But you want something that bring joy, that feel like Christmas.
Right.
And that's the kind of stuff that people will play year after year after year. So there's about a dollar's worth of my 2 cents.
Love the perspective for sure. I have shied away. If I see a release and there's a ton of originals, I'm just not drawn to it. And a lot of it is, you know, if it's somebody I haven't heard of, then tell me why. Tell me why I want to hear your version of Jingle Bell Rock. But if it's an artist I care about, then maybe I really, really want to hear all the classics that we've heard 3 million times in their voice. And so unless the originals are really, really good, and I tend to be a little more, you know, show me on originals. Original really has to grab me, and it's tough to even articulate the criteria for it. But to me, the risk to me, this is me, the risks are the originals. And if it's an artist I care about at all, then I do want to hear them. I do want to hear their take. I do want to hear their voice on the tried and true stuff. So that's kind of where I fall.
This is risky because I'm going to mention somebody who advertised this year. Did you happen to hear Blaine Howard's album, Christmas in the Car?
Just a little bit. I couldn't really speak to it, but I'm aware of it. Yeah.
It's almost all covers. Mm-hmm. There's one track, an original track, the title song, Christmas in the Car, which is a story about when he was, it's kind of a story, when he was a kid. And they would travel on Christmas. They would have Christmas at their house, and then they would travel 7 hours to grandma's house. And it was just every year. And it's full of nostalgia, and it feels good. I don't know, a whole album of that might be tough, mm-hmm. but that original is really nice, and there are nice little things. They're great little things in it. Like he mentions remembering that he can still hear "Merry Christmas, Darling" in his head because that was one of his mom's favorite songs, and that would be playing on the car radio at some point in this trip. So it's a lot of stuff that you can identify with, even though it's his mm-hmm. story, and it's really done. It's really done well. It feels like Christmas, and. And that's in there with a lot of covers and a lot of different styles, you know, and that's the other thing. Christmas music is the only genre where you can do that, where you can have all these different styles on the same album and almost nobody gets upset. So you can have your pop tracks and your rock tracks and your country tracks and your gospel tracks, and they can be on the same release. You can start an album with your cover of All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah's song, and you can end it with Oh Holy Night, and that'll be okay. You couldn't do that in any other genre. And I say that'll be okay, depending on how you do either of the songs.
It'll very likely be okay.
Yeah. But you can't do that in anywhere else. And Blaine did that really well. He combined a couple songs, a couple Christmas songs that everybody knows, and so that he could get more on the, you know, I talked to Blaine Howard in another podcast episode. You should get the story of it from him.
Okay.
But it's a real nice collection of when it's mostly covers, to be able to do that and to make them, you know, I want to keep saying make them your own, but to make them, you know, Christmas music should be fun. And sometimes we get these songs and it doesn't sound like anybody's having fun there.
Yeah.
I'm not having fun listening and they're not having fun singing. And
you know. Yeah, it's funny because you talked about the Switchfoot and spoiler alert, Switchfoot is my number one album of the 2022 release cycle. But you couldn't really accuse it of being a fun Christmas album. It's kind of a sad Christmas album. Welcome to my midlife Christmas. I'm looking for Christmas. And even the covers that we know, you know, they kind of stay on the low end of the energy with Heard the Bells on Christmas Day and Silent Night, Midnight Clear medley. And it's a bit of a downer, but I believe it. Kind of like you were talking about earlier, like John Foreman's vocal, he's no trained vocalist. What they do with their music is different than what a lot of artists do, but I believe this album front to back. So maybe it's either or, maybe either have a ton of fun with it or make me believe it. And with theirs, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they did. I was very excited. I love Switchfoot. I was very excited when I heard that they had an album coming out, and I think California Christmas might have been the first song I heard. Mm-hmm. And I lived a large part of my life in San Diego area where Switchfoot is from.
Sure.
Yeah. So I was very excited. California Christmas. The rest of the album was not what I expected, largely for what you said. But it didn't feel like, you know, I don't want to call it a downer because it doesn't feel like a downer. It feels like somebody who is, it's almost blues.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know what? That's okay because we don't all experience Christmas the same way. I like it when the songs are happy, peppy, upbeat, fill me with joy. I do like that, but I like it when they're real, you know, give me a real heartfelt version of Merry Christmas, Baby. Make me believe it.
Yeah. From the interviews I've heard, you know, they understand that Christmas is kind of loaded for some people and not everybody experiences it the same way. And their take was there's not an album that really gives voice to that. We want to have that album. And so it's not maybe throw it on a Christmas party, but it's, there's some meaningful stuff there. So I appreciate it from that standpoint. So it is my number one of the year.
Yeah. I will not pick a number one from the year because I have too
fair.
Many.
Very fair.
Too many conflicts of interest.
And if you talk to me from 2 weeks from now, my list might look vastly different.
Yeah.
Because I will have sat with the songs after the stress of the season, but that's another story.
Yeah. I have, for people who have subscribed and listened to all the episodes, if there are such people, you've heard me talk to almost everybody who advertised on the station this year and heard the stories about that. So it's not just about the money that they paid me to advertise. It's also that I've gotten to talk to them and I've gotten to hear, you know, the stories behind putting the album together. So there's a lot to that, you know, that carries that extra weight.
Oh, for sure.
It's kind of like that. You heard these interviews about the Switchfoot album and that made you like it even more.
Yeah, there's the depth there. There are layers there that you kind of experience it differently the next time you listen to it. And that helps a lot. Can't do that with 120 releases though.
Right. Yeah. 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 Every year it takes me usually the better part of January to just kind of get caught up with all the stuff that gets sent to me late. I try really hard to get to everybody's release and at least give it a listen, but it's very tough to do that when they're coming in so fast and furious. And a lot of artists don't quite understand that. So I'll get emails, follow-up emails. Did you get a chance to listen to? And I'm like, I don't even know at this point.
For sure.
Christmas is just days away. I don't know. I just want to go to sleep, please. So we had skipped ahead to your number one album. Was there anything in between what we had been talking about and number one that you wanted to?
So from an album standpoint, I gave away one and two, which was Switchfoot. This is our Christmas album, and Joss Stone, Merry Christmas Love. And then number three, this is not how you do a countdown, I realize, but number three was Kevin Mack's Winter Woods, which it was a Kickstarter project. It finally came out. And I don't know if he's an acquired taste. It's kind of this brooding, haunting old Christmas stuff with none of the holly jolly classics at all. It's all like in the bleak middle winter, Good King Wenceslas kind of stuff, the old timey stuff. But he's got a great crooner voice, and I love that album. And then the aforementioned J.J. Heller, I Dream of You Christmas, was four. And then five was Crowder, Milk and Cookies, which that's an album where he sits between goofy and reverent and bounces back and forth the entire length of the album. But I think he does it well. I believe it. If I were to identify one track, it would be the Elf song, where he's basically advocating for a raise for the elves. It's pretty funny.
I do really like the Elf song. I know you don't post singles. Were there any that got through to you that you really did?
Jeff Goldblum. I don't know if you heard his version of the Christmas Waltz. It's basically Jeff Goldblum at his Jeff Goldblumiest. But I mean, he's a legit pianist and pretty good vocalist. And I had a ton of fun with that. I do hope that that they do. It's Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. Does that sound right?
Right. And that's not a joke. That's the real thing. Right.
And they are real musicians. And so they gave us that single. I had mentioned Kane Brown on your podcast before. He did the Amazon original single, Blue Christmas, which is kind of this swaggy, like halftime drum beat thing, which I really appreciate. Not everybody loves Kane Brown. Pentatonix did that single with Andrea Bocelli.
Do you hear what I hear?
Yeah. Their full length album this year was interesting for me because it was all, you know, duets with other artists or collabs with other artists, I should say, and some instruments, more instruments than they've ever used before. So keeping things interesting. And I appreciate that. If you're going to release something new for Christmas 11 years in a row, we got to the point now where they're incorporating other artists and instruments, so you know, hats off to that. But let's see, other The Offspring did the Bells Will Be Ringing, Please Come Home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. You talked about growing up in California. Mm-hmm. So the Switchfoot California Christmas was heavy on my radar. I ran across this single from an artist named Judy Blank from the Netherlands, who I don't know anything about her, but saw her version of her take on a single called California Christmas, not related to the Switchfoot single. And I just happened to click on it, which I don't usually do because I'm too busy for that kind of stuff. And it grabbed me immediately. It's got this old timey, kind of maybe almost the 50s lean, and great chorus. And I found myself incorporating that regularly thus far this season. Judy Blank, California Christmas, didn't see it coming.
Yeah, somebody had sent me that, and I can't remember. I don't think it was Judy, but somebody sent me that, and I thought, yeah, I know zero about Judy Blank, but I like this song.
Yeah, I looked it up today. It is just a single, unfortunately, but maybe a sign of things to come.
Yeah. Biggest surprises.
Biggest surprise is that Harry Connick would have released a fourth full-length Christmas album and only done it on Apple Music, which I don't know. Do most people have that? I didn't. I did the free trial so I could hear it, but I'm sure we're going to be getting the physical release and all that, but that's a major, major release. And Alicia Keys did it too. Alicia Keys, you can't stream that on Spotify to this day. Maybe it's coming. I don't know. But that's two enormous artists who would have dominated this year's release cycle. Their albums are too hard to find. I find that surprising.
That was especially the Harry Connick release for a couple reasons. One, I remember that was probably about 15 years ago. He was doing an interview and somebody asked him about more Christmas music. And I think he only had two releases at this point. And he was not quite annoyed by the question, but his answer was that he had done that and he was done with that.
And, really?
Yeah. And, you know, I get it when there are people constantly asking you questions and maybe you just finished the process of doing this album and you're so done. So I get that. I mean, there are so many interviews with rock stars who say that they're done touring. They're never going to tour again. Yeah. And then they take a break and they heal and they get some R&R and then they go back out on the road again because they love performing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's probably what happened, but because he's Harry Connick Jr., it got, you know, blown way out of proportion. But then we did, you know, Harry for the Holidays and the Happy Elf and this new one, which, yeah, was a complete surprise to me that he had the album coming out. And then it was a surprise that it was only on Apple Music. I feel like it'll be everywhere next year.
I'm sure it will be.
And it could be and it could be one of those deluxe versions.
You know, and he didn't play the tree light, the Rockefeller tree lighting. He wasn't like everywhere on your TV screen like these big artists normally are when they put something out. So maybe I don't know what the thought was there. Maybe Apple paid them a ton of him and Alicia Keys a ton of money to go exclusive for this year, and maybe it's worth it. I don't know, but found that surprising for sure.
Yeah, some singles that surprised me: Bryan Adams, "Let's Get Christmas Going." Mm-hmm. Had no idea that was coming.
Right.
Didn't know. And then all of a sudden it was out. And I'm a fan. I love a lot of the Christmas stuff he's done before. He did an EP.
Yeah.
Last year, the year before. It's been a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was very surprised, pleasantly so, to get another Christmas song from him. But that one, yeah, that was one that was just sort of out of the blue. One that was kind of a surprise, and I have to get on a soapbox about it too.
Okay.
Chris Ruggiero.
Yeah.
Released a Christmas album, and one of the things he did was a duet on Grown Up Christmas List with Darlene Love.
How did he get her?
Well, that's one thing. How did he get her? I don't know. I don't know much about him. I don't know if he's, you know, across the hall neighbors with her, or I don't know what his background is. So I don't know how they connected, or if somebody said, you guys should do something. My beef with this is that this got promoted as Darlene Love's first Christmas song in 30 years.
Mm.
And it's not.
Yeah.
She had, going backwards, she had a Christmas single called, I think it was Spirit of the Season, a couple years ago that she did in the Netflix movie Christmas Chronicles 2, but it was released as a single.
Mm-hmm.
She had a whole Christmas album 10, 12 years ago called It's Christmas, of course, an entire album. And a few years before that, she did a skit, one of those little fake commercial movie things on Saturday Night Live called Christmas Time for the Jews, that they made a little claymation video. And that was also a single that's out there. So all this stuff came out, but somehow got overlooked. I don't know how. And then so that's really how this got. So this song got on my radar because I was annoyed.
There you go. Well, did you like it?
I did like it very much.
Yeah. Chris is good. I didn't know much about him either.
I didn't know much about him myself. And I listened to this and he did It's Christmas Once Again. Ronnie Spector did that a few years ago. The original artist just went out of my head on that, but it's not one that gets covered a lot. So I really liked that. Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. He did a great job on that one too, and several others. So I probably wouldn't have found his album had it not been for this ridiculous story that Darlene Love somehow came out of
mothballs there you go.
30 years. So that was a surprise.
Yeah, for sure.
The funk band Confunction had a Christmas album this year. And if you're thinking, I know that name from some somewhere back through the mists of time. Yes, that's who they are. Same ones, same guys. And they and this has a couple originals on it. It has a lot of covers, but it is in their style. And if you remember liking them, or you like that sort of, it's not really disco, but it is funk. If you like that, you should check it out because it's fun. But that was a surprise.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I haven't listened to it yet. So I'll make sure to highlight that here.
This was a surprise. Just I didn't know that Donny Hathaway had a daughter, Lala Hathaway. But she recorded a version of This Christmas with the original tapes from him. So it's kind of like a duet.
Right.
And I feel like, while I know that it was a thing for a while for people to record songs with dead people, I feel like there's a relationship there. This is okay. This is Natalie Cole doing a song with Nat King Cole.
Although both
of them are gone now. But I just felt like this is okay, and it's better than okay. It's good. And but it didn't get, I don't know why it didn't get the press, because I think it's a very unique a unique kind of thing, and maybe it just didn't get the press where I was looking.
I didn't see too much about it.
The Jeff Goldblum single was a surprise. And that was a very pleasant surprise. And I know you had mentioned that. Did you happen to see the little Colbert? Yes, Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
For anybody who didn't see that, go to YouTube and search that. On a recent episode of Stephen Colbert's show, they did a spoof commercial for a very Jeff Goldblum Christmas, as if he was releasing an album. And Jeff Goldblum plays along with it. It's very funny the way he keeps stopping.
Oh, it's perfect.
Tell you something about the song or a memory or something like that. And it's
really, too perfect.
Yeah. And it reminded me that the song had come out, because this is the single, The Christmas Waltz. It's a real thing.
It is.
And it's a real thing, not done for laughs. It's serious.
Right. Exactly. I'll add this to the surprises. It was a full length album. I didn't see a Christmas album from Macy Gray on my 2022 bingo card. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And that one was one that I don't remember any promotion or anything from it. It was like, this is out today.
She tweeted, well, it's funny because her original tweet had a release date of like December 23rd or something like that. She meant November, and it was corrected very quickly. But, you know, I got to go with what I know. So I put it down. Then I got messages. Why are they doing it? So, you know, I don't know. I only know what I know. But
another surprise was Johnny Mathis's Christmas EP.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think three songs, right? Do you remember?
Four, I believe. Yeah. Four. Yeah.
And these are songs he's done before. I mean, he's done tons of Christmas music before, so it would be a challenge really for him to release something that a cover that he hasn't already covered. But these are all new recordings, which is really kind of cool, because it's Johnny Mathis.
92 or 89, or he's up there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I should probably just look that up. He's 87. Yeah. 87, so sounded pretty good, I would say.
Yeah, I thought he sounded terrific. And he's still out there touring. You know, if he comes in your area and you can see him, you really should. Because, wow, a legend. Absolutely a legend. And you will be glad that you got to see him. But, yeah, this was just one of those things that I was like, really? And my first reaction to it was that, you know, record labels keep repackaging stuff that has already been released, and they'll put it out and it has a new cover, so you think it's new.
Oh yeah.
And that's what I thought this was, but no, these were all newly recorded for this year.
I was super skeptical as well, and I was so glad to see that it was new.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this was a surprise too. Kevin Bacon and the Old 97s.
Oh yeah.
The song is Here It Is Christmas Time. This was part of the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special on Disney Plus, and they released a soundtrack. But I was curious what the soundtrack was going to be, and based on the other Guardians of the Galaxy movies, I just figured this was going to be 70s, 80s Christmas songs. Mm-hmm. So when here's Kevin Bacon and the old 97s, I thought, okay, that's it. I didn't have that on my bingo card.
For sure.
Lee Nash, Joy to the World.
Yeah.
Lee Nash, former singer for Sixpence. I don't know if they're just on hiatus or I don't want to say.
It's funny because did you see anything about the film Madeira, Mercy Land Christmas? It was a Kickstarter project with various artists.
Yeah.
Phil Madeira was in Emmylou Harris band, and he headed up a various artists project, which has been sent to the Kickstarter folks, but is now slated for 2023 release. And Sixpence None the Richer is one of the listed artists. So cool. I don't know if that's it's a great song. No spoilers, but I don't know if it's one of those cases where he just brought Lee Nash in and threw the Sixpence name on it, or if Matt from Sixpence as well came in and played on it. I'll be curious to find out. But Lee Nash has slowly but surely kind of gotten into the Christmas music game, and is putting out at least a single every year, it seems. This year I've got her single, Joy to the World, I believe, and this new Mercy Land Christmas single. So I kind of starting to build quite a collection. That's one of my favorite female voices in all the land, Lee Nash.
Yeah. I was lucky enough. I got to talk to her when her EP came out, and that's probably been at least 10 years.
Yeah, it has been.
Could be longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's done enough singles on her own to really get ready to collect them, maybe add one or two more and have a Lee Nash Christmas album. Lee, if you're listening, I would love this to happen. I'm not expecting any sort of cut or anything, but that'd be okay too. Sixpence None the Richer did a Christmas album not that long ago. And but yeah, so she's certainly no stranger to Christmas music, and she's been giving us a single almost every year for the last like 5 or 6 years, I think.
She's also appeared on other artists as duets. Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever heard Hibernation Day with her and Jars of Clay, but it's kind of it's kind of a flirty little Baby It's Cold Outside type song, original. It's been 15 years now that it's been out, but I love her voice. So I'll seek out any, especially Christmas stuff that she's on. And that was a duet with her and the Jars guys.
Another single that was a surprise, Lizzo, Someday at Christmas.
Oh yeah. Also performed on SNL on the Christmas episode.
And this was exclusive to Amazon. I'm guessing next year it will be everywhere.
Right.
So I know lots of artists have done that exclusive. We talked about Harry Connick Jr. and Alicia Keys with Apple, and Lizzo did this with Amazon. There have been artists that have done stuff just on Spotify, but usually a year or so later, they're out everywhere. Right. So we can hope for that.
Must just be a one year exclusive, like with Nora. Nora had the Christmas Waltz that was exclusive, and then she put it on the deluxe album. So come to expect that. But I do look forward to that day when Amazon releases their new Amazon originals. Just a wide variety of artists usually, and kind of there's bound to be something cool in there.
How about the Million Dollar Quartet Christmas?
That was one of the early ones that we had on the list. And honestly, I have not checked it out yet. I think it was an October release. It feels like ages ago, but it was this year.
For those who don't know, Elvis, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, and Jerry Lee Lewis all were at Sun Records one particular day. It was actually Christmas time. I don't remember who the first two were that were there. I know Elvis showed up and for some other reason, and they just jammed and had some fun. and they were, and there were pictures taken, and there was a recording made, and they were referred to as the Million Dollar Quartet. This recently went to Broadway, and then they did a Christmas version, which is what this cast recording is that came out this year. And I was expecting this to be awful. I was just, I love those guys so much.
Right.
And I just thought, you know what, this is going to be some awful parody of Elvis. And I'm just going to, and you know what? This is terrific. It's so much fun. All of these songs are done in the style of the artist that I mentioned, who, as far as I know, didn't really record. I mean, Blue Christmas, certainly Elvis did, but but most of these, I don't think that they recorded them. Elvis recorded a lot of Christmas songs, so he may have done a bunch of these on his own. But they're all done in the style of these artists, and it's really done well. And it was, and it was a nice surprise, because I just felt like, yeah, it came out in October, so it was early enough where I felt like, well, I got to give this one a listen. And then I can throw it away and move on, because I was sure it was going to be bad. And it was, and it was really so much fun. So that was a that was a nice surprise.
I was fairly sure it wasn't going to be great either. So I mean, you've hit me to a couple of things I need to go back and revisit when I get some time here. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, this was a surprise. We were talking about Disney Plus earlier. Disney Junior Music has all these singles for Marvel's Spidey and His Amazing Friends, and Patrick Stump did Merry Spidey Christmas.
Okay, I did, this one missed me.
And it's you know, it's really cute, and I didn't know that, and was, and I when I saw that this was, I thought, okay, this is wrong. This is some other Patrick Stump, because Patrick Stump is in Fallout Boy.
He's not a children's artist.
Yeah, and so I thought, okay, this is somebody else, and it's probably dumb, because it sounds like it would probably be dumb. And it's really cute. It's really cute and sweet, and he has done a bunch of these songs. This is the only Christmas one that I know of, but he's done a bunch of songs for Spidey and His Amazing Friends.
Okay.
And if you have little kids who are watching Disney Plus and watch this show, you already know. You just may not know that that's the guy from Fallout Boy.
Okay.
But that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, I was not aware of that.
The Piano Guys released a couple singles.
Right.
And it's been a while since they put out a new album, but I didn't see that coming. I mean, Straight No Chaser put out a new single this year, and that's not a surprise.
Right.
They've done a lot of Christmas music, and I'm not saying that to be good or bad. I don't people who love Straight No Chaser to be yelling at me, but it's when you hear that Straight No Chaser did a new Christmas single, your reaction is probably, well, cool. Yeah, that's about right. But the Piano Guys had sort of at least completely off my radar. And then here's Do You Hear What I Hear? And then they recorded a version of Mistletoe, the Justin Bieber song.
Oh, really? Don't think I've heard a cover of that before.
And that was really the surprise.
Sure.
And so if you like either of those artists, you should go check that out. I feel like I said I wasn't going to do this, and here I am going through all these.
You're not saying yay or nay. You're stating things that exist.
One of the biggest surprises, and this will be my last surprise, one of the biggest surprises to me was the Spirited soundtrack for the Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds movie. The movie itself was a big surprise to me. I thought it was going to be one thing, and it was, and I really, really enjoyed it. And the songs are really done well. And that was a big surprise. I have played, there are a couple different versions of that Christmas morning feeling, and I've played that several times and probably will again between now and next Christmas. And since the Sounds of Christmas stays on all year, probably a lot of times more.
There you go.
But that was a nice surprise because I don't know what I was expecting, because it's not like it's not a Hallmark movie, and it's not, you know, it's not going for that sort of emotion, but it's the movie itself is done really well. And this is something that's only on Apple TV right now. Another exclusive, but I think the soundtrack's everywhere.
Yes, it is.
But I really enjoyed the movie, and the music was a big surprise that so much was obviously put into making this as good as they could make it, I think.
Yeah. They took singing lessons, they took dancing lessons. When I first heard, in this couple, at least a couple years in the making, when I first heard about it, I was hoping, because I know Will Ferrell can sing a little bit, kind of goofy, but I know he can hit his notes. So I was hoping we'd get some sort of music out of it. So I was really glad we did.
Yeah. And the whole idea of the movie, I was very concerned because he's taken some things that like Land of the Lost, mm-hmm. Which was a somewhat beloved Sid and Marty Krofft 1970s kids, Saturday morning kids thing, and made it adult, put in, and he would probably be one of the first to tell you, a quite a bit of lowbrow kind of humor.
Yeah.
And I was worried that this was going to be in that vein, and it's not at all. I mean, this isn't a movie review show, but
sure.
I think if I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it has strong connections to A Christmas Carol. Well, you can tell that in the
people
in
know
the
that
ads.
Yeah.
But it's done really well, and the music is not something that is just thrown in. It's integral to the mm-hmm. to the story.
Yeah,
and the music is good. And that was my last surprise. So
I am going to see it in the theater this week. So I'm glad you didn't spoil it, but that was my hopes are high.
I wanted to see it in the theaters, and I don't know if it's playing around here anymore, because I know it opened in early November, and then like a week later it was on Apple TV, so I could watch it without the crowd in my living room.
Yeah, I've had to restrain myself from doing so because I do want to go to the theater.
So I think that's kind of everything, and then some. Any tidbits, anything that you know of or are hoping for next year?
Well, the Mercyland Christmas has been bumped next year. There are a couple really, really like scant rumors that I wouldn't even flesh out yet, but I always hope to have some that don't actually make it out, so I have at least a working list for the following year. There's a little bit on there thus far, but nothing. There was supposed to be a Phil Vassar EP. He did the two singles with Dina Carter.
Yeah.
For some country stuff. The two singles are out. It was supposed to end up on a Phil Vassar CD, EP, I should say. And I don't know if that was going to be holiday or if that's just some sort of collection. So that's still not out, and I don't know what the plans are for that. So could be something we get next year. I don't know.
I know that there are a couple that we talked about last April that are in the sort of rumor mill and have just sort of, sure. I hope they haven't gone there to die, but Cher had been reportedly working with David Foster 2-3 years ago on a Christmas album. And she has teased Christmas stuff a couple times.
Oh yeah.
So I hope that comes to be. Meatloaf had reportedly recorded a Christmas album. There's tons of press about it, but this was like 2013. Hot Holidays, something like that, was going to be the name of the album. There were all these guests that had been mentioned on it. I feel like Reba McEntire was one of them. But it just went away, and it didn't just go away because he died. It went away years ago. All of a sudden, There was no talking about it. So I don't know what happened there. I feel like it's on the shelf somewhere. And I hope that they put it out. And Pat Benatar had done an interview with Billboard about 10 years ago and said she was working on a Christmas album. And she mentioned a couple other things. We did get a single from her 3, 4, 5 years ago, but nothing else. I'd love to have a Pat Benatar Christmas album. But those are the rumors that I know of. I don't even know if you can call them rumors anymore.
We'll put Nancy Wilson back in the rumor pile for next year, I guess.
Yeah. Avril Lavigne too.
Avril Lavigne.
and you know, even though Sheryl Crow didn't sing the song for this recent CBS movie, I gotta think that there's a demo somewhere of her doing and maybe we'll get that, or maybe she'll flesh it out and release that on her own. It's been a while since her Christmas album came out, so it'd be okay.
It has, yeah.
It'd be okay if we'd get another one. Just
it'd be time for sure.
But I think that's about it. Thanks for running down this whole list of stuff. I hope there are other people who care as much as we do about it.
Probably very few, but probably some.
Yeah. What's the best way for people to find you? I guess it's the only way. It's on Twitter.
As of right now, we're on Twitter only. It's Christmas Music News, and the handle is at New Xmas Music. And we keep a tracker there of the what we call the major release cycles and the release dates for this year's cycle. And we'll do it all over again next year, I'm sure. And right now it's a lot about, you know, who's going to be on TV tonight, or who's playing this or who's playing that, or anything music related we still try to grab, because it's, you know, not a ton of release news anymore this time of year, but plenty of people still doing stuff. So we try to keep the tweets going, hopefully year round, but definitely at least until the holiday.
And one thing I will say about JJ's page there on Twitter is that if you love Christmas music, and there's a good chance you do if you're listening to this podcast and you're still listening to this episode, scroll down through all his stuff, because he posts a lot of appearances, a lot of videos, a lot of releases, and some of the singles that we were talking about, that because they're singles, they're not on his list, but he still mentions them in there. So you'll find just a treasure trove of Christmas releases from this year. And if you have the patience, you can scroll farther and
do a good job of the continual tweeting. Once I tweet, I forget. And so I'm like, well, nobody's going to scroll down that far, but you do a better job of staying in the current consciousness.
You know, when I started doing the Sounds of Christmas, I worked really hard at staying on top of everything. And I'm very fortunate now that while I still work hard to do that, I find so many people like you who it's a passion, and you do keep up with it. And I can't tell you how many times this year I went, oh, I didn't know that was coming out, because I saw it on your Twitter page.
Yeah.
So that's so thank you.
It is tough, because like you said, it's not my job, and Twitter is such a now medium. And it's, you know, a lot of times I'm like, well, if I wasn't first on that, is it bother, you know, is it worth tweeting? And I need to remind myself that it is, because my followers might not be somebody else's followers or whatever. So it becomes an arms race. Sometimes I'm like, I've been stuck on this job, and it's been 6 hours since that. Well, everybody knows it. I don't want to be the last one of the party. So I got to get out of that mentality sometimes, because Twitter can be a bit of a competition.
You know, I think about that so often, especially in the fall when new things are being released, and I'll see a story about some new song that's coming out or some artist that's got a thing out, and I'll look at it and go, oh, this came out 6 hours ago. And really, come on, 6 hours ago. Might as well have
been 2 years ago.
And it's so funny, because we're so ingrained in all of the Christmas music stuff that people who aren't like that are going to go, the Backstreet Boys have a Christmas album out? I had no idea. And we're like,
I remember last year.
Yeah.
Last year during Kelly Clarkson's NBC special, the internet was full of people who were shocked that she had a new album. It was like the worst kept secret for 8 months.
Yeah.
And during her TV special, Twitter was full of people just coming to. And I'm like, okay, there are all kinds of people out there. So,
yeah. Well, what you do is important to a lot of us. And I certainly appreciate being able to connect with somebody who is borderline obsessed with Christmas music too.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. No, I appreciate your support. Always fun coming on as well.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. Anytime you're ready for Christmas music, we're ready for you. Just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also grab our app in the Google Play Store and take the music with you wherever you go. As far as this podcast goes, we're now on over 30 podcasting sites. So if you didn't find us on your favorite today, just search for the Sounds of Christmas next time you're there, and I'm pretty sure you'll see our tree. Then you can subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.